Hello, everyone. T.S. Apostolos says, we're the sea people's Greek pirates. T.S. Apostolos, you're going to have to take your little interest, specific, special interest of yours, and put them up your ass! Because tonight we have too much work. We have two cases of cockery exposed, you know, in one case, self-exposed. The self-exposure of Jesper Lee Ting, who has cocked, she has apologized, backed off on the Nick Fuentes stuff. And another case of someone exposed by others, a bronze age pervert, which will lead us to a reflection and a thesis about Jews and how do Jews relate to their public product when they are interfacing with a host nation like America. How are they experiencing the speech, the art that they create? Is it because when I do this show here, as a man from Christian descent, I feel that I am among a community of equals. I speak to you guys, I don't condescend, I don't display fake stuff. Unless it's for parody or for fun. I really experience my delivery of thought like at a level where you guys are my equal. I'm communicating something that I might know that you might not know, but you can communicate back and we exchange. I believe that there is something different with how Jews relate to their product. And the way they interface is really as displayers of a mask for the audience. And we will talk about all this, but let's start with the first story. Jesper Lee Ting's cocks, deletes Fuentes video, apologizes. Creators who are not willing to stand by their creation are grifters and should be dismissed. They are here to drain the waves of fame, but aren't willing to handle the responsibility that comes with it.
I did remove the interview. I, again, did not think through a lot of the repercussions of posting that, so I just removed it.
You can see that she's been coached by the anti-racist left. I didn't think of the repercussions. Oh, now my friends are writing to me saying they won't be on the podcast anymore. Now my agent told me I would be losing viewers and money. Now this institution contacted... This is the woman brain right there, laid out for you. That's how it works. It is just a set of convergences of influence that come from outside. No principle behind these two eyes. Nothing that emerges from inside the cranium. It's all, well, now I realize this consequence because it came from someone else and someone else told me that and someone else did this.
If you do want to see the full interview, Obsidian did react to it. That's on his channel. The intention was not, I guess, to hide it. It was just, you know, this might not have been the best move. I'm just going to remove it now. So again, racism has no place in society. And I do.
Racism has no place in society. You know, when a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old comes up with a special way of phrasing. You know when you hear about a 3 or 4 year old trans baby or trans child, you know how you can tell that this comes from a parent? You can tell that it comes from the mother. I hear racism has no place in society. I hear a slogan of the ADL here. I hear something that she was coached to say. I see a child in Jesper Lee Ting's, and I would like to know who's the adult behind.
I do take accountability for bringing him on. Hindsight's always 20/20.
So she takes accountability for bringing him on. Exactly the type of series of excuses that are pre-written, that are coached by whatever handler is controlling her stuff. Holy shit, is that disappointing? Because, and I don't regret saying she was a cool girl. because when I said she was a cool girl, I wanted to show openness to someone who shows openness. There's no problem in rewarding openness. And then when the person exposes themselves for real, you deny that openness. You say, all right, well, I remove my approval of yours. And I remove my approval of just pearly things. Our responsibility as podcast host is sometimes to create circumstances where the clash of ideas happen and where our audience can be elevated by looking for the facts themselves and perhaps being shocked by things that they wouldn't have considered, but that they are now exposed to. Absolute disrespect for a creator who takes the ride on the wave of fame, because that was certainly doing tick, 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 tick in her bank account as she was exposing her podcast to a whole new audience on the internet. She did so for drainage purposes, and then she leaves because she has no principle. And this is all a ritualistic apology for the purpose of not being canceled. Well, I thought that the whole idea of inviting Nick Fuentes was precisely to make a charge of cancel culture, to say I'm going to look for myself into the reasons why this guy shouldn't have a bank account, or this guy shouldn't be on a fly list, or should be on a fly list, on a no-fly list. So you totally fail at holding the original principles that motivated you into inviting him. And you show to your audience that ultimately you side with leftist cancel culture. That is it for my opinion of just pretty things. As far as I'm concerned, she's just like one of the others. Cannot be a thought leader. Cannot be anything. Because if you cannot tell the righteousness of the cause of freedom of speech in a society that claims to be about freedom of speech, if you cannot die on that hill, then there's no hill you're willing to die on. So you're just a machine of reinforcement. But we know where that leads, these machines of reinforcement. Here's where it leads. Appearances on a black podcast for the purpose of apologies just hours after she had published that video. Here they are recreating the interracial porn scene. But the podcast version of it with nine black guys around a white woman, a transfer of the ritualistic humiliation that was once reserved into the Pornhub corners of the internet, only now to be displayed to the general audience of YouTube.
Like diehard fans, you know, that are more like for Pearl, but I would say, I don't know, maybe half and half-ish, or maybe 60-40, roughly.
Okay. I mean, I don't know about you, King, but I feel like I've supported Pearl because of Pearl as an individual. I feel like the content could be found elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And we only say this because I think what a lot of people would say is that the Black community has supported you and kind of been the pillars that have built you up.
See? Those are not the original thoughts of a Black man from the podcast industry. That seems like handler language. To say, hey, you know, don't forget the family is behind you. We've always been supporting you. We've helped you rise. Now you do this to us. I can't believe this. That is not how, you know, intellectually open black male, even high IQ ones, behave and talk. This is the thinking of a member of a mafia who's like, we elevated you, why are you doing this to us? Why are you inviting our enemies on there? Very interesting here. I still see a child speaking, but not in Just Pretty Things this case, in this podcast host. I see a child who's being coached by someone else.
Mm-hmm. At least that's the word on the street. Mm-hmm. But before you respond to that, would you describe yourself as in support of the Black community, or is what you do just in passion for the content itself?
Are you talking about the reason for my content?
Mm-hmm.
I would say the reason for my content is to support men's issues and create media that advocates for men's issues. I wouldn't say it's specifically about...
If you side with cancel culture, just barely things, you're not doing a good favor to men. Because cancel culture is the armed weaponry of the anti-male attitude in modern society. Have you ever noticed that men tend to be more canceled than women? How does that work? There are certainly as much women, at least, that are annoying bitches as there are assholes out there. It's because cancel culture is directed at the cognitive structure of the male brain. Cancel culture, by its characteristics, targets males who think originally. And because there are more males who think originally than females, cancel culture ends up being a weapon against males. You cannot seriously be saying that you are for improving the state of men in our society and then side with the very mechanism by which they lose their reputation, job, capacity to do business, bank account, family, children taken from them. All of this through some form of cancel culture. Blanket says, JF doesn't realize just because she has someone on doesn't mean they always agree with the person. I don't think that her cognition approaches this level of analysis. I don't think that she's in the, oh, well, the object isn't necessarily the subject. Which I would be into because I'm an analytic guy, you know, philosopher of sorts. Yeah, you know, you can cover something while not being for it. But I don't think she even reached that intellectual degree, which is not so high, by the way. It's like a 105 IQ talking point, this thing. I don't think that she's at 105 IQ reflection here. I think she's at the, oh, well, lots of people are calling me. And they're telling me you should apologize. Oh, well, I got this guest who I've already filmed a podcast with, and the guest told her, don't publish our podcast together. I'm canceling you. And so she is in the space of female opportunism, which is the only space that females live in, by the way. The 3D space isn't even within their concern. Their brain is a social blob that seeks to obtain advantage where they can. Which is why you never get a principled stance from them.
Race, it's more about men's issues.
Okay. Pearl, do you plan on continuing with the same style of content with the same demographic?
The same. Well, I plan on keeping on doing my shows. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a documentary soon. I think that's like my next big
Oh my God. She's taking the Lauren Sutton path. Documentary, next big thing. I think that her show will be wind down a lot starting now. Because the way she answers, she doesn't seem to be fascinated at this. I'm going to continue to do my show. Like, if you're a true podcaster who's like, oh, I'm going to die in front of the camera. You're not like, oh, yeah, I'm still going to, you know, continue doing my show. But, wow, I think that she's done. I think that we'll get much less releases from this show, and it's going to be much less exciting going forward. Well, so be it. That is it for the Just Barely Thing story. What do I retain from it? I don't think that I've committed errors in supporting her because I've supported her at a moment where she was doing the right thing. And now she's doing the wrong thing, and I withdraw my support in general. And I was never deceived that she would hold the line. But in general, just don't be deceived. If you have that kind of brain to be easily swayed and manipulated, be careful. These cloud surfers, they know how to drain this. They know how to drain the cloud and try to then get away with it, and try to even drain on the apology. But there's no double dipping with Papa JF. There's nothing to be apologized for. You have exposed your audience to talking points. If you felt that Nick said something that totally violates your personal value, you can offer an alternative to the audience. You can say, oh yeah, you know, when he said this, Nick, fully disagree with him. But she didn't do this. She is instead joining the cancel mob that she... That was the very initiation of her interest in Nick. Why are so many people canceling Nick? Let's see. And now she realized, well, cancel culture will turn against you when you extend empathy to a male who thinks for himself. And you cannot be out there claiming yourself to be some sort of masculinist or some sort of men's right advocate if you join that mob when it turns toward you. Stand with the people who get targeted by that mob, or you're no one, as far as I'm concerned. Joshua Larson says, well, I want to tell you what you want to hear, but also leave myself open to the next person in the room, what they want to hear. What a web of lie we weave when we start practicing to lie. That is a beautiful sentence that I think applies here. It's not even a lie. It's the non-statement space of the female cognition. Well, fuck this woman. Let's get started on the case of Bronze Age Pervert, because this whole news popped 1 hour, 2 hours before the show. But my first intent was to talk about Bronze Age Pervert, who has been exposed to have had ties with Israeli intelligence, who is apparently, in my view, I think there's enough evidence to conclude that Bronze Age Pervert is from Jewish families and uses a fake accent to pass as this kind of brute from Eastern Europe. But you will see him behave when he's not in character. And clearly he's capable of speaking a perfect English, almost perfect English, with a very, very slight Eastern European accent. Apparently, he is from a family from Eastern Europe, from Romania, I believe, who they moved to America in a town called Newton. And Newton is the highest Jewish concentration for a single city in America, with Jews at 30% in that town. His whole family and collaborators of his family works in the academia, where he did get a diploma of some sort, I believe at MIT. And he did a PhD thesis on Socratic philosophy and that kind of stuff. I read parts of the thesis. I read the evidence. I believe that we can conclude that Bronze Age Pervert was someone who wrote books and tried to incorporate as much as he could. Because I listened to his podcast and I had never listened to him before today. So I started today doing a deep dive. And what I find is he's hitting on all the bells. Anti-liberal, anti-Marxism, right wing, pro male, pro homeschooling, even pro Western civilization. But we will get to what does that mean when you are a Jew displaying a fake accent of an Eastern European to fit in, and you speak English much better than you truly do in public. What does that mean when you consider that there is an attack of liberalism against Western civilization? What kind of Western civilization do you think you're a part of when you say this? And I would like to invite people, if you want to go watch the movie by Jim Carrey, with Jim Carrey as the main actor, Men on the Moon, I think I have hints that Andy Kaufman, who's played by Jim Carrey in that movie, is the example of what I'm talking about. And here's a scene, not from the movie, but from the actual life of Andy Kaufman, because he was a real man, a Jew who was trying to be a comedian, but, you know, was doing this kind of, you know, that kind of comedy that most people don't find truly funny. You know, that kind of weird, is it even comedy?
How you doing?
All right. So one of the favorite, apparently based on the movie, one of the favorite characters of Andy Kaufman was Tony Clifton, a kind of Italian singer. Yes, it sounds like Sacha Baron Cohen also. Many times we have seen Jews participating to their public life under an absolute character with marked ethnic delineation, you know, an exaggeration in the imitation of a local race or local ethnic. And here Tony Clifton was the whole incarnation of an Italian singer of some kind, like Italian-American singer.
Nice to see everybody out here. Everybody feeling good? All right. You know, I just came back from the East. Let me tell you something. It was so cold there.
How cold was it?
I don't ask you. I didn't ask you. Can we start this again? I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you. Come on up here. Why don't you come up here?
So see the ethnic exaggeration of the accent for the purpose of comedy, of a kind of, oh, I'm doing it so much that it's funny. It seems that Bronze Age Pervert was engaging in the same kind of stuff. And just because I didn't know who the guy was, I also looked into his book, so Bronze Age Mindset, and it's those talking points of, yeah, let's be those brutal men from Bronze Age again. That was his theme, and it's kind of weird. Let me read here just a part of the introduction. In the Bronze Age, men had life and force, and I already see far on the horizon of our world, but the glimmer is surely there. May it not be a mirage. I see the spirit returning surely in our time. Piratical bands and brotherhoods will take to the seas, and not just to the seas. The enemies of Western men and the enemies of beauty are to learn just what was meant by a piratical race, a nest of pirates like the Chinese thought of the Dutch on first meeting them. I want to prepare you to receive this old spirit. Old spirits are moving from behind the reeds. The silhouette shimmers against a river in late summer, and I see already men who know how to honor such uncanny old friends. May they inhabit us again and give us strength to purify this world of refuse. So this kind of masculinist poetry, but posing as it, and almost exaggerated in the very same way that Andy Kaufman was exaggerating his accent. See, because I consider myself an anarcho-primitivist. I love the past. I love I love the idea of going back to simpler times. But I would never be as exaggerated as shitting this piece of crap that he just shit onto Amazon. It's ridiculous. Going back to the seas? Are you fucking kidding me? And so... All we knew from a picture perspective was that Bronze Age Pervert would be a nudist bodybuilder, would be recognized as a far-right entity, and we had his back. And Keith on Twitter has presented a beautiful case, gathering all of the information, concluding that There were two parallel personalities that Bronze Age Pervert has been enacting onto the public space. He was Bronze Age Pervert with an accent on YouTube, but he was also a student of MIT with a public presence, Kostan Alamariu, who also tried to reach celebrity on his own in this character, tried to reach celebrity by writing articles in half-known blogs and the Daily Caller. But eventually his article at the Daily Caller got deleted, and it was all teenager level thoughts about war, Russia is evil, and that kind of stuff. But all very framed so that a right-wing mind could approach this and not feel that it's an Israeli talking point. The Bronze Age pervert persona belongs to Costin Alamariu, a Jewish Romanian. Okay, not MIT, it's Yale, sorry. So it's not MIT, it is Yale. A Jewish Romanian Yale graduate. This information has been an open secret for years, yet strangely ignored by the SPLC, ADL, and other Antifa groups, despite BAP's substantial influence. Firstly, subscriber to Bronze Age Pervert's Gumroad podcast noted statements appeared in their bank statements with the name Costin and the letters Allah. Gumroad confirmed the podcast belongs to a person of this name. So already there is a bank role leading to Costin Alamariu in relation to the production of his podcast. Next, there is Alamariu's father, Andrei, who he credits in his PhD thesis, alongside his mother, Aurelia. Bernard's public Facebook page follows a small account that reposts Bronze Age Pervert. Pretty odd for a Jewish boomer mostly focused on Israeli issues. So the Facebook of his father looks like a boomer Facebook and Israel stuff, and then suddenly videos of Bronze Age Pervert. So, and when this was exposed, his father deleted all of his page on Facebook. So it seems that the truth was touched. Once this was exposed, he ran away. And that is evidence of guilt further that stacks onto what we already have. Finally, we can recognize the voice of Bronze Age Pervert in this public university video where Bill Mitchell was giving a conference. And you can see that someone in the crowd comes to ask a question. But then we get to see the true accent of Costin Alamariu. And the true accent is much less pronounced than what he usually performs on his YouTube channel.
Yes, I noticed that you asked about the question to which Trump is the answer and what the problem was and why people are dissatisfied. There were people, I would have to say, unlike probably most of you, who predicted Trump's win maybe a year in advance, including Ann Coulter and Steve Saylor and many others, and who knew that the animating question was...
So for those who know Bronze Age Pervert's voice, let me compare. So you just heard there's a little bit of Eastern European accent. But compare this to how he performs when he's on his channel on Bronze Age Pervert.
There is no reason for students to be in public schools for longer than 4 or 5 hours, and the creation instead of vigorous scouting and nature movements separate for boys and girls, that would take the place of the modern schooling system. I am for this. And this may sound like radical...
It's almost like Slavoj Žižek or something. It is very saliva-influenced verbality. It is very heavy, very liquid. But it would seem, if we compare this to when he acts not in character, it would seem that he had a faux persona in Bronze Age Pervert, that he was displaying much more Eastern Europeanness and much more exaggerated ethnic traits than is real.
Proposals.
I mean, it's very rare that you will converge towards such a thick Eastern European accent. This is the kind of accent I would expect in someone who lives perhaps in Eastern Europe. But apparently Bronze Age Pervert has been living in Newton, a Jewish city in the US.
But I think actually they're not radical at all. They're moderate and prudent proposals, and a nationalist or a populist politician could put such things forward.
Now, people were telling me, Jeff, we all knew that this was a fake accent. It was obvious from the accent itself that it was exaggerated. But I think there's some level of deception involved here. I mean, your accent is the conception that people develop of you. And it is the ethnic conception that people develop of you. I think it is pretty fair to say that you are carrying false meaning when you are carrying a false accent. Point six. The Alamarius are immigrants from Romania who moved to Newton, Massachusetts. Newton is the most Jewish city in America, earning it the title of Jewton. Costin's father, Andre, who worked at the MIT. Okay, this is where I mistake. So his father was at the MIT. Him was at Yale. Dedicates almost all of his public posts to Israeli national security issues. This is not just a typical Israel-loving boomer. He is well up on Israeli concerns in the region. Almost all of his friends are Jews. And he scrubbed his Facebook in response to the exposition of those facts. Costin, that is Brown's Edge Pervert's brother, is Dan, an international banker married to a Jewish woman. Costin's great-uncle, Lipa Alamaru, is listed by the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in its Holocaust Survivors and Victims database. The same Lipa Alamaru is listed in his obituary as the uncle of BAP's father, Andre Alamaru. Interestingly, the surname Alamaru, Costin's parents changed it to Alamaru as its highest concentration in Israel. It is also well represented on the Holocaust Survivors database. Costin's academic background is also heavily Jewish. At Columbia University, he studied his master's under Zionist David Sidorsky, who he calls his mentor in his PhD thesis. Sidorsky served on the board of directors of the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs. Alamaru studied his PhD under the supervision of Stephen B. Smith and Brian Garston, both of whom are Jewish. Smith is a Strassian who has written a number of books on Jewish identity. Costin's other supervisor, Brian Garston, works with the Jewish Herzog Foundation and Tikva Fund. A former lecturer of Costin described how he would wear an IDF shirt to the gym to start debates about the conduct of Israel. So that is not directly related to Costin, but the point is educational involvement at Yale was supervised heavily by Jews and Jews that are interested, including his father. There are Jews around him that are extremely interested in Jewish identity, Israel, and Zionism. As an undergraduate, so that's being interesting here, because we get an old text that Alamaru, Bronze Age Pervert, would have written back in his university days. And this gives us insight into how a young Jew rising in America, wanting to become some kind of internet celebrity through writing, it gives us an idea of how they approach the question of Muslims in this particular case. Muslim inaction on Chechnya. So that was in 2002. So imagine that Chechnya is the next advance of Russia, because that's what happened ultimately. You know, the Chechen War was a war for the control of Chechnya and was successfully led by Russia. So he's seeing this. And just like Ukraine today is a war of expansion of Russia, back then, the war of expansion was toward Chechnya. Before I continue, let's read our super chats. Cloud Warmer had said at the beginning, Jeff, I don't even see the code in the Matrix anymore. I just see psyops, subversion, false narratives, propaganda, bad actors, controlled opposition, tactical boomerism, Fed posting, and cookification. It's a bright pink, neon, cyberpunk version of Plato's cave. When will the people of the world be free? That's a beautiful description, Cloudwarmer. Never, probably never. We cannot evolve toward freedom. We can only run toward it. Cloudwarmer says, JF, this BAP situation reminds me of Tyler Bingham, one of the founders of the Aryan Brotherhood, a notorious white supremacist prison gang. He and other notable members of the Aryan Brotherhood are documented to be Jewish or part Jewish, which is not without its own irony. Oh yeah, we can see, historically, we can see Jews being able to play the two sides of this white supremacist thing. So Muslim inaction on Chechnya, a written letter to the editor by Kostan Alamariu, Bronze Age pervert, in 2002. Last spring, as the Russian war in Chechnya was ending, as the whole world looked away from the terrible rapes, murders, thievery, and humiliation. So a first signature here. A first signature of a Jewish political preference. Always label your enemy as the genocider. You know, even if it's a bilateral war involving two parties, Russia is always the ones committing the rapes, the thievery. So already we see here a beginning of the frame game here. Shout out to our friend Frame Game, who disappeared from the internet, but we have the frame game laid out right here. The Russian army on the civilians of this small Muslim nation, yet found the time to slander the democratically elected government of Austria. I wrote a short but urgent letter to the MIT Muslim Students Association and its leaders. I assume they knew about most of what I had to say, at least regarding the Russian atrocities. But I also informed them they could help fellow Muslims. I was trying to advertise a bank account number to which all can donate to the cause of the Chechen Mujahideen, the freedom fighters. I was completely ignored. So he wants to talk with the Muslim community. And he's like, don't you realize? Don't you realize what is being committed against your brothers? Don't you want to help? And he has a bank account number. Send money to this bank account number. He wanted to advertise bank transfers that would be used to fund a revolution against Russia, basically. Because at this point, Russia has taken over Chechnya. So he wanted to fund a Muslim insurrection against Russia. This is the masculinist, tough guy who's like about bodybuilding and all that kind of stuff, and who's about to make you a better man who will go for the seas like the Bronze Age people back in their days. He was already, as a young undergraduate university student, fomenting insurrection against Vladimir Putin. Whoa. I find this hypocritical and outrageous. He's referring here to the fact that the Muslims didn't listen to him. They didn't send money to his bank account. Oh my God. Especially since one of the leaders of the MSA is a Bosnian Muslim. At least, you know, a Bosnian Muslim. I would expect you to do a little bit of money transfer here. I see that this organization is more concerned with distributing pamphlets and holding cookouts than with helping save Muslims' lives. Black Lives Matter. BAP was ahead of his time. BAP, as a young child almost, was trying to yell Muslims' Lives Matters to Muslims, trying to foment a counteraction against Vladimir Putin in Russia. Isn't that fascinating? This guy was engaged in exactly what the blue check mark have been engaged for 2 years now, in this whole Ukrainian resistance, and you go, girl, you go get, you go receive Russian artillery, girl. And he was saying to the Muslims, don't you realize how much it's in your interest to combat the advancement of Russia? I can't believe this. I see that this organizer, okay, blah, 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 helps save Muslim lives and helping the cause of Islam. So what do you have to say about the cause of Islam? You don't understand it? You're Jewish. I should say, though, that their conduct is not much worse than that of most Muslim countries. Oh, okay, so it's really all Muslim countries that he has issues with. And here we see a tint of the Israeli issue against Muslim nations. Most Arab nations are very vocal about Israeli persecution of Palestinians, but shut their eyes to much worse abuses carried out by Russians upon Chechens. In defense of Israel, he says, look, stop bringing all that attention toward the Palestinian rights being oppressed. Look at what Vladimir Putin is doing against the Chechens. I would like to be able to put that account number in this letter, but unfortunately it is no longer working, and the war effort is not so vigorous as it used to be. I encourage all, however, to visit the sites Kavkaz.org and Kokaz.net. It is in Chechnya, not in Austria, China, or Israel, that human suffering and abject misery exist. What a subversive strategy here. He is saying that it's not in Israel that human suffering exists, i.e., it is not the attention, your attention should not be directed at what my people is doing to Muslims in Palestine. It should be directed to some other country out there. Go fight Putin. Go fight Putin. Stop thinking about me and us. Further evidence. BAP regularly collaborates with his friend Eduard Lutwak, a fellow Romanian Jew and deep state spook who served in the IDF and U.S. National Security Council. These days, Ed is especially passionate about anti-Semitism, lambasting Hollywood for not punishing anti-Semites. So here's an example of what we can expect from Eduard Lutwak. Many delight in denouncing anti-Semitism, yet refuse to act to punish individual anti-Semites. The Jews who run the TV program, in which a comic called Chappelle incited a professional pogrom against Jews in Hollywood, have apparently not fired him. No excuses for their cowardice. Okay, so we've heard this. This is the Eric Weinstein's... Eric Weinstein's, what did he say? He said cultural punishment. This is the cultural punishment. Dave Chappelle hasn't received this cultural punishment, and Eduard Lutwak is here to make sure that it happens. And just in case some of you guys would say, JF, this is all indirect evidence that Bronze Age pervert is Jew. I grant you the fairness of your argument, my friend. And in response, I will give the admission by Bronze Age Pervert himself in 2015, at a time where he was much more open about his Jewishness. He answered a tweet at some point saying, I'm not neo-reactionary, I'm a nude bodybuilder and a fascist. I'm also Jewish. Is this okay? So you don't support Israel as a Jewish state? Are you an anti-Semite? There could be a level of sarcasm in the second tweet, but I see difficultly the first tweet being explained as sarcasm. It does seem that Bronze Age Pervert is well connected within networks of pro-Israeli, anti-Putin, anti-Russian networks of geopolitics, academia, and intelligence. I can only conclude this in response to this evidence presented by Keith on Twitter. And his Twitter account is at Internet Radical. I highly recommend you follow him, because I had a couple of people come to me with Brown's Edge Pervert and saying, Jeff, what do you think about him? And I needed something like this. I needed a layout of what are the most relevant arguments. And I think it's a beautiful case that was put together by Keith. Cloud Warmer says, on the whole ideology of Brown's Edge mindset and reversion to or embracing the nostalgia of bygone eras, what is, in your opinion, the condition that causes this? Why do people yearn to go back to the past? Do people forget that despite aspects of the past that maybe were good, it was not perfect? Well, I think that inevitably, you are gene-centered around your past. You know, your genes are centered to a point in the past such that anything that happens in the present and future is always stacking upon in an irregular manner, unless the world doesn't change. But typically the world changes, and so anything that adds is in more conflict with your gene. And I think it's a natural instinct and reaction to have, to be wanting to reset it, to be closer to what your genes need and what your genes want. Oh yeah, and Keith Woods is on the regular chat. I want to thank Keith Woods. Because I don't know, is Keith Woods Keith? Because I don't know. Maybe it's Keith Wood, but because Keith, I mean, it sounds like it's Keith Wood. Anyways, I see that Keith Woods is on the regular chat. And I have to say that my attention was brought to Internet Radical's thread by Keith Woods on Telegram. Okay, I think it is him. I will not, I don't know. I'm just someone who doesn't know anything. But I will just say, could be him. And yeah, what a beautiful case. A beautiful case with the, there's a juice box. Keith uses the juice box emoji here. What does that mean? Is that a dog whistle? I don't know. But there's a juice box with a straw. What is in that box, Keith? What is it that you're drinking? Because this is good stuff. This is excellent stuff. Babs, and the 19th argument was Babs' identity also shows itself in his attacks on the anti-Semitism of the radical right. For Babs, there really is no Jewish question, just globalist cabals of all kinds, some of whom happen to be Jewish. And I saw him react in some of these podcasts, and people were telling me, Jeff, how could he be a Jew? He keeps talking about the Jewish question. Well, that's the whole mask being put on. Because when you're into the gatekeeping business to keep people from actually examining ideas honestly, you end up recruiting a lot of your talking points to your right, and then you present them, but you present them in a sterile way where you hope to gatekeep, where you hope to close the doors that could be opened by a single fact. And I would definitely say that having heard him talk about the Jewish question, it's definitely not because someone talks about Jews that he's not a Jew. You know, it keeps happening that Jews are tempted more and more to engage with far-right arguments, and they get tempted, and one does it a little too much, and then he gets criticized, and then one does it a little more, and then he gets criticized. But there is always this this inner conflict in the Jewish intellectual as to whether to ignore or to address the truths of an argument. And I think he's exactly at that layer. He's exactly there. And another signature, I was digging through his Twitter account. By the way, Brown's Edge Pervert has not been tweeting for years. He's not been uploading videos for years on his main YouTube account. So I don't know what that means. Does he have some other outlet that I don't know about, or did he really disappear from the internet? I have no idea. But look at his position. Of course, on Catalan nationalism, you can always detect this as a test issue. Because Catalan nationalism is very much about a local European ethnic reaching sovereignty from Okay, Keith is telling me he has a new Twitter. It's at Bronze Age Mantis. Okay, so I was wondering. Thank you very much for letting me know. I will add it to the show notes so that people can see his latest statements. Bronze Age Pervert, there he is. So the issue of Catalan nationalism always is a slicer on will you side with European local identity when it shows, or will you hate it? Or will you try to dissuade by putting other ethnies against each other? And I want you to really look into this tweet. Catalan nationalism is worthless. Half of all Muslims in Spain live in Catalonia. This is critical. Catalan nationalism is worthless. So an anti-nationalist position. You don't get your country. But it's fascinating what he does. He can't help it. Half of all Muslims in Spain live in Catalonia. He can't help but to use the Muslims to create a racial clash. And what was he doing? What was he doing 15 years ago? In 2022, so 21 years ago. What was he doing 21 years ago? He was trying to clash the Muslims against Vladimir Putin. The art of Jewish intellectualism often lies in the triangles of conflicts and interests that they perceive and try to exploit. And you can always have a final judgment on their recruitment of these facts to their advantage, into knowing that they are made of the same strand as the Israelis, the people of the deep state in America. They take two races and they say, fight against each other, please. BAP was saying in 2002 to Muslims, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to kill my enemy, Vladimir Putin? What are you waiting for to destroy Russia and cause an insurrection against Russia? And here he's saying, hey, Catalans, what are you thinking? You're going to be a more concentrated Muslim nation. Do you really want to be a Muslim nation? Well, Bronze Age Pervert, 21 years ago, you seemed very friendly to the Muslims when you needed them. Now you're telling the Catalans they shouldn't want to hang with these Muslims? Why? And ultimately, the answer why is Bronze Age Pervert, Keith Woods is correct. Keith is correct. Bronze Age Pervert is a Jew. And he interprets the position of other races around him as a Jew. That's how the same way Andy Kaufman experienced the Italianism of Tony Clifton as a tool to display something and to make people laugh in his case. But BAP doesn't want to make people laugh. He wants to manipulate their political decision for his own interest. So that apparently is the freshest account of Bronze Age Pervert, Bronze Age Mantis. Thanks to Keith for letting me know. So yes, apparently he's been more active on this one. Yeah, it's a fascinating insight into the mind of these people when they engage in public discourse, because they have a if I think about and talk about or talk to Muslims. And even Jordan Peterson did that to some extent. I talk to them as a sovereign entity because I understand I'm not Muslim. I'm never going to make an argument of the form, hey, Muslims, do you really believe in your Quran? Well, You know, your Quran says this. So if you really want to be a good Muslim, you might want to do this. And then recruit the Muslims to something that I want them to do. That wouldn't cross my mind. Because I have a European mindset. I may not have the Bronze Age mindset, but I have the European mindset. And to me, that would be deceptive. But to someone like Bronze Age Pervert, it isn't. It's the game. Solidus says, given BAP is an Israeli psyop, the only logical conclusion is that all Amarnite talking points are Israeli too. I don't even know what an Amarnite is. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. And if you would like to see that dollar button, make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account. What else do we have? Yeah, so we have an old Twitter account that he had started as a student. And see, in parallel to developing his career as Bronze Age Pervert, he was also developing a public career under his actual identity. History of political philosophy, writing books on ancient tyrants, classical ideas of heredity, documenting the end of the post-war liberal order. And we can see some of his articles. In 2016, he was writing under his real name. Putin 1, International Vampires 0. And you can see how this is framed. You might think, oh, well, isn't that a based article? Well, it's a based article in that he's saying the left is wrong about Trump and Russia being linked to each other. But that is not for him. That is not him trying to save Vladimir Putin and Russia. It's him trying to save Trump because he's part of this Jewish contingent of intellectuals who sided with Trump, who thought Trump was a good thing. And so they wanted to protect him from being perceived as an agent of the Axis of Evil, which they think stems in Russia. Here you have Muckrack listing old articles that he had written under his real name, The Daily Caller, Palladium Magazine, all very uninteresting and overwritten, I would say, overwritten crap. This is how a teenager writes, you know, with these big poetic moments that don't say much. I really don't like reading this crap. So that is it for my review of Bronze Age Pervert. Again, you know, Keith Wood, the man who I've had disagreements with at the philosophical and metaphysical level. But man, do we connect him and I. Man, do I agree with his approach in terms of laying out the facts, taking conclusions, and exposing the facts that need exposing. Because so much of the right-wing speech on the internet is grifting. We have to have mechanism that allow detecting the original thought from the copy, the grifter from the real thinker. And here I believe we have a total grifter. In fact, there were people learning about it just today with my thumbnail. They were entering the chat before the show and they were like, no, not Bronze Age Pervert. So apparently this guy had developed a strong following in his deceptive way. And so it's good to have agents of truth like Keith who go after this. Keith Wood says, it's sad what has happened to the online right the past few years. Absolutely. But at the same time, we were hit with censorship. And let me tell you, the generation that will have survived this censorship and that will re-rise on the current Twitter, I have big hopes. I think we will be made stronger. And as long as you take people like Bronze Age Pervert and you expose them and you find who they are, I see a great future because we still have an intellectually more interesting movement as of today. Despite all the censorship and all the attacks and the debanking, we still are in a better position than the left intellectually because go on a podcast of the left and it's all circle jerking. It's no exposition to the opposite argument. It's non-factual. It's emotional. It's harm-based. There is really nothing interesting intellectually in the left. It's just the question in the leftist podcast is just how much of reality will they be willing to obfuscate from their view as they speak. That is what you looked. That is why you check a leftist podcast. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, the big red flag for me is the use of the word pervert in his internet identity. Why would you embrace a term associated with unconstructive and abnormal sexual desire as opposed to a healthy, proper direction towards reproduction and family? Yes, in a way, he is in line with the very liberal order that he criticizes. Because if you're going to be a pervert, like, sometimes I will say that I'm a pervert, but in a joking manner, because ultimately I advocate strongly for monogamy and family life. But if you're really going to identify truly as a pervert, then there's something wrong with this guy. You know, he's not in line with the reproductive strategy that will counter the liberal order that he claims to be fighting. Netanyahu fires Israel defense minister for urging halt to judicial reform. In perhaps the least surprising geopolitical move of the day, Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu fired his defense minister on Sunday, a day after Yoav Gallant called for a halt to the planned overhaul of Israel's judiciary that has divided the country. So basically Netanyahu making a display of power because there was someone in his rank who wasn't very much into his legal reform, which I don't know what it will result in. Hey man, these fucking sexy videos of gym woman. It's like, are there actually women out there who go to the gym and just train? Because I have the impression we get to see it all. Like what you see is what you get. Basically, the number of women filming themselves and putting it on the internet while they do gym is pretty much the number of women who go to the gym. And basically, the whole camera, the whole clip duration is the duration that she stayed in the gym.
Officially over public.
Oops, sorry. The volume was high.
With gyms.
Oh, sorry, I was a teacher. I've been waiting for these for a really long time. I just have a couple more.
Okay, so this time it's not the misogynistic rapist. This time it's some other woman wanted to take her tools, and she's like, well, I would still want to continue using them. But we know what the point of this video is. It's to look at the boobs and look at the legs. It's like you're not filming it in a way that suggests that this is about the issue of, you know, exchanges of material in the gym. Is it fair or is it not? Should you give your place after a 5-minute wait, or is it a 10-minute wait? No one gives a shit. It's all about the legs. I love this style. I will keep clicking on like on my Twitter account when they come to me, because Elon provides and I consume. Lack of creatine among vegetarians and vegans can lead to an IQ decrease of up to 1 standard deviation or 15 IQ points. Bodily creatine levels in children have a significant relationship with their income 20 years later. Yes, creatine is essential. Okay, very interesting review here from Raw Egg Nationalist. Of course, creatine is found in meat, and so you don't have to use it as a supplement. But it's very good to have meat and to give meat to your children. Kanye West, we've covered this yesterday, but we can talk about it again because it gets more coverage right now in the media. Since Kanye West married Bianca Censori, handed her the operational keys to his kingdom, and restarted negotiations with Adidas. According to his former campaign manager, he deactivated his phone months ago. He's now on active cleanup duty, having lost billions. Ye 24 is over. Well, that is not surprising at all to me. I had said that Kanye West doesn't have the brain to maintain a program of enabling a presidential campaign, let alone to win one. And so I knew this would happen. I didn't know that it was ultimately tied to the feminization of his life by his new wife, apparently, or kind of wife, whatever, Bianca Censori. And so my comments on this is, if you can't hold on to your principled stances as you jump from celibat to a relationship, don't be surprised down the line when your woman treats you like the modeling paste you have shown yourself to be. The first thing that a woman does is she tries to test your ability to change. And if she records as part of this test any sort of flinching from you, first, she's going to lose respect for you. So the first thing that will come to mind is, okay, this guy is probably not the best guy I can get. I probably can get a more solid, more alpha male out there. But maybe I'll stay with him for a couple of years and see what happens. So Kanye, by letting a woman come in his life and suddenly his whole spiel changes, and suddenly he claims he has seen a movie by Jonah Hill that has convinced him that he was wrong about the Jews. But as I've described yesterday, Kanye is largely fighting a straw man of himself when he says, I shouldn't have hated all of the Jews. But he's never said that he hated all of the Jews. So it's never been about hate. It's been about the pursuit of justice in the media industry, which was a totally fair thing for him to do. And it was very clear in all of his interviews back then that it's not about racial hatred. It's about questioning the state of the media industry in America, and particularly the question of self-ownership for Black artists, which is very important. It's still important as of today. Read the signs. Semiogog was reacting also. Wacky, so unexpected. I console myself with the fact that throughout this journey of self-discovery, the one thing of which we can be absolutely certain is the heartfelt sincerity of both Ye and his supporters. Might have been wrong, but they definitely weren't lying. Yes, the thing is, I don't think that Kanye was lying, but he's kind of lying now. He's kind of lying when he does his walk back apology. And it's a fake apology because it's an apology for things he has never said. So what is wrong here? What the fuck headline of the day? Nobody likes getting punched in the balls, especially if you're a woman. Trans woman left sobbing at JFK Airport after TSA agent hit her testicles. Okay. A TSA agent at JFK punched me right in the genitalia, yelled at me for having a penis, and humiliated me in front of everyone after I told her to please stop. Well, perhaps the agent wasn't hateful in her intent. Perhaps she was doing a regular check. And, you know, sometimes we have an effect of surprise. Like, if I enter a room where I think there's no one in the room, but oh, suddenly there's someone in the room, it's like, oh, whoa, whoa! And you can almost have a violent or at least self-protective reaction because you think, oh my God, is there some kind of ninja? A ninja trying to rape me or something. And so perhaps one of the hypotheses we could lay out here, perhaps the TSA agent experienced the surprise following the detection of a presence that wasn't expected. So she was like, okay, this is a woman. I'm going to treat her like a woman. And then suddenly her hand goes into between her legs, and there's this gigantic pair of balls that is just as surprising as the ninja in my bedroom. You know, maybe it's what happened. And she got an emotional reaction to that surprise. White pill, a UFC superstar, Holly Holm, uses her win to call out sexualization of children.
Something that's been on my heart, and I feel like I have the platform to say it, I need to say it. I just feel it's really sad, all the sexualization of our children right now, and we need to protect them.
We need to protect them, she says. It's really sad, the sexualization of our children. You have a regularization, I would say, of certain traditionalist, right-wing talking point, Christian talking points, and that is very good. That is very good because I don't think she could have been harsher than this, but the reality is she's probably dog-whistling some opposition to gender identity activism toward children, you know? I don't think that she's just annoyed at the idea of, you know, young girls dressing in a sexual manner. I think that she may be annoyed at the idea of young boys dressing like girls in a sexual manner. Moses says, anybody here also get comfy uncle vibes from JF? I appreciate. But at the same time, it breaks my heart to think that I could be a comfy uncle. You know, it makes me feel old, but it's okay. I will survive. I will deal with it. But I keep thinking of myself as young, you know, because my life hasn't changed very much. My brain hasn't changed too much from when I was a young adult. And so it's very hard for me to think about a comforting uncle position. It's like, because some of my uncles were bizarre, like you know, the kind of bizarre uncle type of guys. Yeah, I don't know if I want to be that for you, you know. The witch hunt against me is dead. Trump says Manhattan DA tricked by fraud star witness wasn't into horse face Stormy. Well, things seem to be going well for Trump because the DAs have backed for now. They have moved to next week. We'll see what happens next week, but it looks like they're getting nervous. Total killing of a white man here by police, which unfortunately will not get any of the attention of the people who say Black Lives Matter just because here the race of the person is white. I don't know if he had done wrong. We can have a look more precisely at the video, but he's basically going to be resisting based on an ideological basis, like libertarian type of stuff. He's going to argue that he can stay in his car. He's then going to tell the police, well, if you pull me out of the car, there's going to be trouble. And then the police will start yelling, he has a gun, he has a gun. I don't know if we see it on the camera. So let's have a look and let's try to see, does he have a gun, really?
Okay, will you hand that to me so I can read it? You want me to look at it through this tiny crack in your window?
I'm handing it to you.
You're not going to hand it to me?
If I hand this to you, you accept trusteeship and surety and you're obligated.
Sure, I'll accept trusteeship if you...
Oh my God, it's one of these libertarian, you know, admiral law type of stuff. If I give you my driver's license, you have to accept trustmanship. Okay, so I can see the argument from a libertarian perspective.
Just hand me the document so I can identify who you are because you're required by state law.
I am not.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chase Allen.
That is not me. That is a piece of plastic paper.
That is not me. That is a piece of plastic and paper. Oh, man. Those are funny talking points. I love them.
So you have a fraudulent passport?
No.
That Wonderful.
Is a piece of paper.
That's what I'm hearing. Okay, step out of the car for me.
No.
Sir, step out of the vehicle.
No.
Right now.
I am not required to.
Step out of this vehicle right now.
We're going to have an issue where
step out of the car right now.
Step out of the car. We're going to break the window and pull you out. Step out of the car.
Cease fire.
Was there really time for him to attempt to pull the gun? Even if there was a gun on his belt, this seems like an over-aggressive reaction from the police here. Gun. The police, you know, what's the difference? Maybe he was reaching for something. Maybe he was reaching to remove his belt. It was, Blanket says, Jeff, wasn't that a bit too much? They shot him, says Surya. Well, I don't think that it's ever been clearer that they shot him. I mean, they shot him with 150 bullets, as far as I can see. I'm afraid that this is a case where the police will get away with it, but I haven't seen anything on camera that indicates aggressive intent, in my view. Now, the problem is that the police who was first there, the one who was starting to hug him, he's going to be the one saying, well, I saw him. I saw him. He tried pulling his gun. But it seems to me that they say he has a gun, but that doesn't mean he's pulling his gun. The thing is, you have the right to have a gun. That's the problem. You cannot be killed for having a gun. This is very important. Mosey says, Jeff, my Chad grandfather had 9 kids, with my youngest uncle being 37. Okay, thanks for letting me know. Why is that relevant? my declaration about ChatGPT, the excitement around ChatGPT will quickly fizzle out. People aren't interested in a closed-loop interaction with a virtual being that can't learn anything. There will be hyper-specific applications like writing, customer service, and sex bots eventually, but not much more. I think there will need to be much more generations coming above ChatGPT before it becomes very interesting. I don't think that ChatGPT... The thing is that we've done the rounds around ChatGPT. We tried all the angles, and at the end, it can generate some basic stuff, but it's always very repetitive. The jokes are just, okay, regular uncle jokes, but you know, your uncle jokes also don't make it into a commercial product. So if all that ChatGPT can do is imitate the uncle trying to do comedy, it's going to be limited in terms of expanding into applications. NYPD overtime budget on pace for record as cop shortage worsens. So cop shortage happening. But a year or two ago, they were calling for defund the police. Well, they get what they wanted. No one wants to work for the police anymore. Elon Musk on the Twitter staff call. He says, Twitter to be the best source of truth, timely and accurate, and let people determine the narrative and what is topical and relevant. Media owners and executives should not decide the public narrative. That is beautiful. It will be so beautiful to see what happens on Twitter now that we are in control. We have 5 days left, 6 days left before there will be a removal of the legacy check marks. And from there, we are driving the narrative. I mean, we can already see it. When I tweet stuff, it memes a lot. I just tweeted a clip of Just Pearly Things' apology. It's already around 20K. Those are like what I was experiencing at the beginning of Twitter. But in the last few years of Twitter, before Elon Musk, I couldn't get much engagement because everything was controlled, everything was shadow bans. Blanket says, Jeff, are there any good ChatGPT alternatives that you like? Well, not alternative, I guess, but I'm starting to see a lot of people come out with these images generated by AI. And there's a couple of these generators that exist out there. I tried some of them. I guess they're not really ChatGPT alternatives. They are specialized art creating AIs. What else do we have before we conclude the show? Oh, yeah, Mel Gibson. Perhaps we can finish on Mel Gibson. That seems to be a relatively old interview where he describes what do you experience as a farm boy coming out of the farm and going straight to Hollywood and seeing the corruption around you?
When I came over here, I was, oh God, I was in my mid-20s.
Right.
The first time I really came over here. You know, I had a whole bunch of weird paranoid suspicions about what the hell was going on because there was a lot of stuff I couldn't understand.
Right.
And nobody was really bothering to explain it to me.
They don't.
And I formed a bunch of opinions about the town and about the people in it that were like, surely that couldn't be, because a whole place can't be like, you know, weird town, you know, where the stranger wanders in and all the people are in the bar and they all shut up when he looks at them and they tell you don't go out of the house on the hill, and it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go away and you think, no, that's, I was wrong. I mean, that's insane thinking. I'm paranoid. I imagined that stuff. That couldn't be the reason for why so-and-so was acting like, could it?
Mm.
And then you find out later on the track that you are exactly on track
mm.
with a lot of this stuff, not specifically on track, but that you could, that some of your worst nightmares were real at the time, and you think, it does rip your life to pieces.
Does it?
If you'll let it.
Yeah.
And it's always pounding at the walls. It's these little guys, these little heathens with no soul downstairs with horns on their head with a battering ram trying to like beat your walls in.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take very long before you realize, or before it gets to you. It's cascading on you all the time. You can't get away from certain attitudes, from certain modes of behavior that this town and the industry dictate. And no matter how strong you are, when you come in off the farm with those convictions and those and a certain line of attack, no matter how strong you are going to be affected by this place.
It's
going to divert you from where you were going.
Sure.
You're going to be diverted. You'll eat yourself alive here.
Thank you.